All right, Mark chapter 2. I want to read you something tonight along those lines, really. Mark chapter 2. I hope you have your Bible. Real simple story. Most of you already know it. Mark chapter 2. Start with verse 1. And again, he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house. We just stopped right there. We'd like to have him in the house. Amen. Have noise about us that every time we get together, he's in the house. Amen. And straightway, many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. Now this is not in my sermon, but I'm going to tell you something. If the Lord Jesus shows up at church, word will get around. And people want to find him. They want to meet him. And look, we ain't got no right to have lockjaw. Go out of here on Sunday. The Lord blessed you. You felt his power, your presence. And you go out of here and you don't make any noise about it. Shame on you. Shame on you. Because, see, you just experienced what millions of people are looking for. And that's what these people did. They said they went out of the house saying, Jesus is down here. You know, we met him down here. And so people came. And I'll tell you this, when the reputation goes out that Jesus meets a church, and people will show up just to see what's going on. Now, look at verse 3. And they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, I want you to underline their faith, not his. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. Now this man hadn't even asked for nothing. But when Jesus saw the faith of his friends, he looked at him and said, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. Amen. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there, aren't there always? There were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, why doth this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? Amen. Instead of asking that question, they should have said, he must be God. Instead, they're questioning him. Amen. They made the statement, who can forgive sins but God? And yet he just did, so he must be God. Amen. People are so blind sometimes. And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they were that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, why reason ye these things in your hearts? Whether it is it easier to say to the sick of the palsy, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and take up thy bed and walk? He said, what's easier to say? But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins.
Thank you, Lord.
He saith to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise and take up thy bed and go thy way into thine house. And immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, we never saw it on this fashion. In other words, we never seen nothing like this. Amen. We ain't never seen nothing like that. Amen. All he did was point at him and said, thy sins be forgiven thee. And because the hypocrites was there, he said, okay, I'll say it this way. Thy sins be forgiven thee. Get up and go home. And he got up and walked down there. Now, tonight, I want to talk about him, but I want to talk about his friends just for a few minutes. Number one, I want you to notice he was completely helpless and hopeless by himself. By himself. He was completely helpless and hopeless. You remember. Now listen, do you remember in Acts chapter 8, the Ethiopian eunuch, Philip asked him, he said, understandest what thou readest? And he said, how can I except some man guide me? That's the way this man was. He couldn't walk. He couldn't get himself to Jesus. Somebody had to help him. And without somebody's help, he was hopeless. He couldn't go. Somebody had to take him. Amen. Listen, folks, there's a lot of helpless, hopeless people around. Some of us used to be that kind. We know what we're talking about. And they need help. And we'll look at them and get mad at them and fuss about them, complain about them, everything else. But the problem is they need help. Amen? I'm sure people walk by that guy laying on that bed begging for alms every day there in the city. And probably somebody probably said, "Old dirty drunk. Oh, sorry, rascal. Why don't he get up? Why don't he give him a job? Why don't he go take a bath?" Amen? Got my heart broke the other day. Well, the day before yesterday. And I didn't get to stop. But I was out here at the Walmart in front of my house, behind my house. And I'm going up through there. And as I'm turning, there's a man in his 40s, a woman in her 40s, and a little boy, a little girl about 9, 10 years old. And they got that little boy and girl out there begging. They got that little boy and little girl out there begging. Now, that little boy and girl can't help it. They had them holding signs. Well, between there and where I was going, I saw 6 help wanted signs. The economy's booming. Industry's booming. Thank God for a president who knows how to do that. Amen? Amen? It's booming. If you ain't got a job now, you just don't want one, or there's something wrong with you. Now, there wasn't nothing wrong with those kids, mom and daddy. They're walking well. They're talking well. They look pretty good. But to put those little old children out there, those children are helpless. And right now they're hopeless. And if God doesn't rescue those children, where are they going to be by the time they're 25 years old? Amen? There's a lot of helpless and hopeless people. They need us to help them. Amen? But I'm glad of what he says next. He says, "And straightway many were gathered together in so much there was no room to receive them." But in verse 3 it says, "And they come unto him bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born or carried of 4. 4 men were carrying this guy. One, it was on a stretcher type thing, and they had one on each end, and they was carrying this guy. They were carrying him to church. Took 4 of them to carry him. But somehow, somewhere before Jesus got to that house, or they heard that he was in the house, these 4 friends of this helpless, hopeless man said, "Look, I heard he gave sight to the blind. I heard he gave hearing to the deaf. I heard that he healed the sick." And one of them said, "Well, I heard he even raised the dead." And another one said, "Well, if we can just get old Joe over there, he'll get him too. He'll heal him if we can get him over there." So they carried him to the house. They carried him. Now, you know, most every one of us got an empty seat in our car. It wouldn't hurt us to pick up somebody every once while taking them to church. Well, they won't go. Well, if you show a little concern, don't point your finger at them and say they're going to hell because they don't go to church. But love people like these guys did. And by the way, I don't see where they even asked him. I just see where they carried him up. Amen. Go by the house and get him. Come on, you're going to church. I find out a lot of times people just want somebody to tell them what to do. Just pull up and say, "Hey, you going to church with me today? Go in there and get ready. Let's go." But they carried him. Now, I want you to notice, in between verse 1 and 2, people were witnessing about Jesus being there, the house being full, the power of God were there. These people were seeking the truth, and these people already had religion. They were Jews, but they were seeking the truth, and the house was packed. And there's a lot of people seeking the truth. A lot of people, I was, you were. They want to know the truth. They've been deceived. We found that in the last election. A lot of people seeking the truth and upset the apple cart because they turned off the TV news that's run by all those liberals who've been graduated from all those universities who's taught them how to be liberals. And they turned all that off and they quit listening to that and they started going to these big giant meetings. I tried to get in and over there. The cars were parked all the way up to the end of University Drive over there at the Winthrop Coliseum. We couldn't even get in the place by the time we got there. People lined up all the way up down the street. Thousands of people. You know why? They turned off the TV, they turned off the radio, and they went to hear it for themselves. Amen? And boy, I wish a bunch of people would turn off the radio and TV and go to church and hear it for themselves. Amen? Amen? They're seeking the truth. And then, I want you to know that there's some, in verse 3 and 4, there's some believers who were faithful. These 4 guys believe God. They believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. We've seen it. We've heard it. We've experienced it ourselves. And if we can just get our friend over there who we love, and it doesn't matter what it takes, we're going to get him in there. And ain't nobody going to stop us. We're going over there. We're going to get him in somehow. And if we can get him to Jesus, He'll fix him. Amen? Amen. Look, a lot of times we just get them to him. That's all we got to do. They don't need rehab. They need regeneration. Amen? They don't need medicine. They need the doctor, Jesus. Amen? Let him heal them. And these four faithful friends, and they were believers. They had to be here. They wouldn't have brought him. Unbelievers don't take believers to church. Amen. And so they were believers and they wanted this man to experience what they had experienced. And they saw a friend that had great need and they were loving. But they didn't just love like most Baptists do. Well, I love you, brother. Hope you get saved. No, they were loving and laboring. They went to work to get that man saved. Amen. Now, it's going to cost you a little bit of trouble to get people saved. And I know, and I say it, and we all say it, but just handing somebody a gospel tract ain't going to get them saved. How many of y'all got saved just reading a gospel tract? Not a one of you. Somebody went to some trouble to pray over you, to labor over you, to love you, and do something to get you to Jesus. They might have had to aggravate you, or make you mad, or love you into it, or something, but somebody got you to Jesus. Would you say amen right there?
Amen.
Would you say it's labor getting people saved?
Amen.
Yes, it is. See, we think, and if we get that property out there, so what? There's 11,000 people right by there. People don't get saved off of reading the church sign. A lot of churches all over this town got nice signs, but there ain't nobody inside. Signs don't save people. Jesus saves people. It takes trouble. It takes work. It takes labor. Not just love, but labor to get people to Jesus Christ. Because the devil's against you. The world's against you. Sometimes your own family and friends are against you. You're going to have to labor to get people saved. And to look at somebody and say, well, I'm praying for you, you'll get saved. Well, that ain't enough. That's like looking at a starving man and saying, well, I'm praying that you'll get some food. Well, take him and get some. Amen. Amen. But these friends, they didn't just love that man. They labored to get him to Jesus. Look at verse 4. And when they could not come nigh or close to unto him for the press, there's so many people in there, kind of like we are when we have dinner on the grounds. There's so many people you pressed up against everybody. That's what that means. And but they couldn't get him in. And they uncovered the roof where he was. Where Jesus was. Now, I heard a preacher preach on this one time. He talked about ladders and all. The houses over there are square boxes. They're made out of mud and thatched roofs. And on top of that roof, in the summertime, well, all those roofs come up higher than the actual roof. And they got little drains on the side. And some of them's got adobe mud on top, too. So what they'll do, and in the summertime, you're reading the Bible where they sleep on the roof. Because it's cooler. Doesn't mean the roof. You couldn't sleep on my roof. We'd have to nail you on my roof. It's like that right there. Their roofs are flat. Well, don't ever rain anyway over there. And the roof's flat. So when it's hot in the summertime, they'll sleep on the roof in the cool air of the night. And so there's always a stairway on the side of every house. It's mud stairs. And they carried that guy up the side when they couldn't get him in the door. They carried him upside. They got up on the roof. And I imagine one of them looked at the door and said, what are we doing up here? He said, we're getting him to Jesus. And he started digging. He started digging. And they dug a big old hole. Can you imagine Jesus standing there and they're preaching and dirt starts falling down out of the ceiling? Think about it. Dirt falling down out of the ceiling while Jesus, I bet you Jesus didn't miss a lick. He kept right on preaching. Amen. And because he knew what was going on. He knew what was going on before they ever did, you know. And dirt's falling down in front of him. He keeps right on preaching. And all of a sudden, light shines through this big old hole. And everybody looks up. And this guy's being let down on this stretcher by four ropes. And right down in front of Jesus. And you don't read where they said anything after that. Friends didn't say anything. The man didn't say anything. He didn't pray a sinner's prayer. You don't have to do that to get saved if that's what it takes, you know, help somebody get saved. But many times in the Bible, there's not even listed a prayer when somebody got saved. that Ethiopian eunuch. Philip said, Ethiopian eunuch said, here's water, what hinders me from being baptized? He said, if thou believest, thou mayest. He said, I believe us. And they both went down in the water. There wasn't no prayer. The prayer was in his heart. Yes. Amen. I'm saved before I ever said the prayer. I come down that aisle, I'm ready to get saved. You know, I'd have whistled Dixie backwards, whatever it took, I was ready to do it. And that man said, well, just pray this prayer. And I prayed the prayer, but now that I look on it, I look back, and as I was coming down, the burdens was being lifted, and the guilt was disappearing, and the joy of the Lord was coming in. I was getting saved as I was coming down the aisle. All he did was confirm it when he took me in that room and read me those scriptures. I said, well, yeah, I believe that. Amen. And here they let this man down. Boy, that would upset the First Baptist Church, wouldn't it? Boy, that would have upset a lot of churches in this town. It wasn't me. I'd say, bless them, Lord. Y'all ain't more. Amen. Amen. And because of that, listen, because they were, they overcome the obstacles. There was the crowd. They went around the crowd. Don't you imagine they were tired after carrying him there and toting him up on the roof and digging the hole? They were tired. When you get to verse 6 and 7, there were naysayers. And everywhere you go, there's going to be naysayers. Everybody's going to talk about you. Everybody's going to try to discourage you. What unbelievers? Even some believers will do it. Can you imagine the uptown crowd sitting there saying, who do these guys think they are? They just tore up our roof. My grandma donated that roof. Mm-hmm. We have a plaque up there with her name on it. I went to this church one time. They had a plaque on everything with somebody. I mean, everything had somebody's name. It's like a museum, man. It was built in the 1800s, and I preached. And they were all sophisticated. Exactly 12 o'clock, about three families got up and walked out. I kept right on preaching. It was a museum, man. In the back, they had the Hall of Shame, I called it. There was a long hallway, and it had a picture and the date, and the name and date of every pastor they ever had. And I got looking at it, and the first one, he was pretty good. He stayed like 20 years. And then, now, you got to remember, this thing goes back to the 1800s, you know. And the next one stayed about 30 years, and then 20, and then 15, and then 16, and 12, and 10, and the last six, they got down to a year or 6 months. The last one up there was there 3 months, and the Holy Spirit said, how long is your name going to be up there? I thought about a week. Because I tear something up, amen. I can see me up there preaching now and break something. But there's always going to be hindrances. There's always... Don't you ever think that it's going to be easy to get somebody to Jesus. Number one, they usually don't even know they need him. This man, I'm sure, thought he needed a physician. Don't you think that's what he thought? I don't need Jesus. I need some Oxycontin. Yeah, that's what he thought. I don't need Jesus. I need some oxycodone or whatever else they give out nowadays. I don't need Jesus. I need a good home nurse. You know, that's the way most people are. They're satisfied with the way they are. And they think they just need a little assistance. But no, they're not going to like what you say at first. And I like these guys. I don't see where they ask him to go. Do you see where they ask him? They just picked him up and carried him over there. Can you see him now? Where are you taking me? I was comfortable back there. I'm comfortable where I live. I'm doing pretty good. Leave me alone. You're always going to have that. Amen. And then you get there to the crowd. Now listen to this. This church is not. If it ever is, I'll leave. You just have to find you another pastor. But there's a lot of churches, the crowd
don't want anything to happen.
On vacation, I went in church. That church was built in the 1800s, and I guarantee you there ain't nothing happened of God in the past 100 years in that place. I mean, they're so formal, they're like Episcopal. And they read their prayers and everything. It's just dead and it's quiet and it's dry. And the little preacher gets up there, you know, and he preaches. And by the way, he's a doctor. And he preached the most dead, dry, unhelpful sermon I'd ever heard in my life. Could you imagine if I'd have jumped up and said, glory to God, hallelujah, help us, Lord. They'd have escorted me out there so quick. They'd have took me out, amen. Amen, they'd have took me out. And then there's always naysayers. There's always people going to criticize you for what you do.
Well, why are you trying? You can't help him. I can't nobody help him.
Well, people like them can't help him. And then when you do try to get them to help, they'll say, why are you doing that? Why? What are you going to get out of this? And I don't, hey, just ignore that crowd. And just like they did, they just went up on the roof. Went up on the roof. Now, I want you to notice verse 8, if you will. Look at verse 8. And immediately, when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he saith unto them, why reason ye things, these things in your hearts? Whether is it easier to say to the sick of the palsy, thy sins be forgiven thee, or say, arise and take up thy bed and walk? But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he saith to the sick of palsy, I say unto thee, arise and take up thy bed and walk, and go thy way to thine house. I want you to notice something. There's victory every time the Lord Jesus heals somebody spiritually, mentally, emotionally, or physically. Because here's what it does. It shows the power and the presence to a bunch of dead religious people. I guarantee there's people in this room tonight, when you got saved, it went all over some church somewhere that you done got saved. And they all said, well, he grew up in a good family. She grew up in a good family. I thought they were already saved. I grew up in a Christian family. I've always been a Christian. I don't know what they're doing over there. Those Baptists, they haven't all, they say you must be born again and all that stuff. I don't need to be born again. And so Jesus, hey, he took that religious crowd and he said, let me straighten you out. I'm God, I can say it any way I want to, but just for you, arise, take up thy bed and walk. And then it says he went to rehab. And then it says he went to reformation, levitation, elevation, transformation. Oh, he went to disciples class. No, sir. It says, immediately, the man got up and carried his bed out of there. He walked out immediately. Now, you listen to me. When you get born again, if somebody loved you enough to get you to Jesus, the religious crowd ain't going to like them. But when you get born again, you are a living testimony to that crowd that they're not saved. Yeah. Because see, when you get born again, you'll receive a new life, a new heart, a new mind, a new spirit. You'll be born again, and that religious crowd still sitting there dead as a cemetery, and they've got nothing new to offer. He was healed. I wrote down here, mission completed. What mission, preacher? Well, number one, the friends got him to Jesus. Number two, they got him healed. Number three, the glory of God was experienced. Number four, the hypocrites were exposed. And God got the glory. Did you know nobody left that meeting that night wondering whether or not Jesus was God in the flesh? They knew he was. They saw it themselves. Somebody asked me one time, well, how do you know Jesus can save a sinner? I said, I saw it. And they'll say, when? I said, when he saved me. I was there when it happened. Amen? I was there when it happened. Well, how do you know? I said, well, number one, I've got the witness in my soul. His spirit lives in me, and his spirit tells my spirit I'm a child of God. Number two, I've got the word of God. It says it. And number three, I was there when it happened.
I
said, did you ever get born, birthed into this world? Oh, sure. I said, well, you're living proof. It happened. Here you are. And I got born again, and I'm living proof it can happen. Here I am.
His friends went home rejoicing.
Now, I got saved March 5th, 1978. I didn't know what I had. I didn't know. I didn't know anything about the Bible. I didn't know John 3:16. I'm serious. Y'all don't believe this. I knew nothing. I knew nothing. But I knew this. The Bible said if I'd ask Him, He'd save me. And I did. And He did. And so I went back to work. And when I got to work, they all sort of, after a few days, they started saying, what's wrong with you? I said, ain't nothing wrong with me. Well, you're different. I said, thank you. They said, well, how'd that happen? I said, I can't explain it. I said, I went down at that church. That preacher preached. He pointed right at me. I walked down the aisle. I asked Him to save me, and here I am. This is what come out. I am now different. I am different. And then they'd say, oh, and then I'd say, you ought to come down there. He preaches every Sunday. You can get it too. And they'd say, don't you start preaching to me, boy. That's what them old men say every time. Boy, don't you start preaching. I say, I ain't preaching. I don't even know what a preacher is. I just know this is what happened to me. It can happen to you too. Amen? Mission accomplished. Patty Martin. That was her name. My wife's best friend. She was her bridesmaid at our wedding. Patty Martin. Grew up, lifelong friends right down here. She got cancer later on and died. She's in heaven. Walked up our house from her house on the sidewalk one day, was out in the yard. And she said, I want to invite y'all to church. I said, you want to invite us where? She said, church. I said, you don't go to church. And she didn't. She was like the rest of us. She said, I do now. She said, I got saved. I said, what is that? She said, I don't really know how to tell you. She said, I asked Jesus to save me, and He did. And said, if you'll come to church with me, that preacher preaches it all the time. You'll hear it. I said, I don't want that. I have to change everything if I do that. And she aggravated me until finally I said, okay, I'll go. And I went to church. And guess what? After 3 years and 5 visits to that church, and many people coming to my house witnessing to me in my own living room, I walked down that aisle and I got saved. And Patty did, I don't know what she thought, but here's what she could have said. Mission accomplished. She didn't tear the roof off. She didn't carry me on the bed. But she had a burden for me. And when she was dying, I went to see her in the hospital. Years later when she was dying, her husband had left her. And she had cancer to breast. They had taken both breasts off. And they was about to take something else off. And I went down to see her. And her faith was just as real that day as it had ever been. Now, God didn't see fit to heal her there. But He did heal her. He took her to heaven.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Now, one day, I'm gonna find her somewhere. I'm going to find her. I loved old boy Fogmire. He preached him, but this girl went to the trouble and the risk of being embarrassed because I had a bad mouth on me. And she loved me enough to risk being embarrassed and get her feelings hurt time and time again. And I got saved, and she's one of the main reasons I got. She didn't quote a scripture. She didn't know one. She wasn't raising a Christian on me either. But she had a burden. Now, y'all listen to me. These men didn't quote a scripture. You won't read where they quoted the scripture. They didn't even say a prayer. You won't even see where they had said. They had no prayer over this man. You know what they did? They said, if we can just get him to Jesus, he'll do all that. Let's get him to Jesus, boys. And they made up their mind that whatever it took, they were going to get their friend to Jesus. Now, you know what we have to do? We have to make up our mind that whatever it takes, we'll get the people that we love to Jesus. Now, if you can't tell them, bring them down here. I'll tell them. That's my job anyway. Bring them down here. I'll tell them. I'll go with you to see them.
But you're going to have to go out of your way, and you have to, there's some risk involved. You may lose your friend. You may get your feelings hurt. But then on the other hand, they may get saved too. Why don't you do it? That girl y'all went to see, Joey, that girl's been on drugs a long time. And she knows that girl's reputation. That girl could have brought every bit of that up. She knows you. Could have brought every bit of it up. And you didn't even know the people. But y'all went to a great risk. Not physically, but she did emotionally. That girl could have hurt her feelings. There was a time she would have. And we got to risk it. I heard a woman tell me one time, she said, I said, why don't you get your kids in church? She said, because I aggravate them all the time. I've quit aggravating them about church because I'm afraid I'll lose them. I said, you've already lost them. Well, I don't want to drive them away. I said, where are you going to drive them? They're already going to hell. I said, I would risk them being mad at me before I'd let them go to hell. I told my children a long time ago, I said, the devil ain't having you. I'm not letting the devil have you. I'll fuss, I'll holler, I'll scream, I'll fight. Hey, I'll make you mad, I'll upset you, I'll weep, I'll cry, I'll work, I'll do whatever I got to do to keep you out of hell, and the devil ain't having my youngins. He didn't get them. He didn't get them. Now we just got to be like those four guys and get to work. Now tonight we're going to go out of here. And tomorrow, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to work keeping people out of hell.
Amen.
That's what I do every day. Now, not a lot of them's getting saved, but you know, you'll reap if you faint not. I got a feeling we're going to see some people coming here pretty soon because of some things God's done for them, because of the people around here that's worked and prayed and begged and pleaded and helped and encouraged. I've got a feeling we're going to see a harvest of people pretty soon because of it. She said she went over there to see that girl, and she used that example I was talking about, those blackberries in my backyard. They get real ripe, and you go to pick them, and you bump that bush, and that blackberry just falls off in your hand. It ain't as hard as you think it is most of the time. They're waiting on it. They're looking for it. They just don't know what they're looking for. How can I accept some man guide me? Father, help us to be soul winners.